This week's InterVarsity podcast features an interview with Mary Ann Volkel. Mary Ann and her husband Jack were missionaries for many years in Colombia, but for the past 18 years, Mary Ann has had an important intercessory prayer leadership role within InterVarsity. Mary Ann was invited to her role as part of the preparations for Urbana 90.
The whole issue of prayer, both prayer as seeking God's face for ourselves and prayer as standing before God on behalf of others, is an undulating kind of twisting road where sometimes it's stronger in a person's life and sometimes weaker, sometimes stronger in a movement and sometimes weaker. I was impressed by the fact that InterVarsity Overseas, England, Canada, and the U.S., was founded with a real emphasis on praying in the daily prayer meeting, the daily quiet time. And I was also impressed in the quote by Stacy Woods that it's easy to get involved in active ministry and lose it. We get busy, and so we get away from it. I just recognize that God uses different people and moments in time to keep drawing us back to himself and back to doing ministry out of a place of dependence. I think that was sort of what I saw when I saw the overview.
Yeah.
My invitation was through Dan Harrison to come and lead prayer at Urbana 90. And I recognize in the quote by Rusty Hunt that there had been a period of much leadership change in InterVarsity in the 10 years prior to that, changes in emphasis of where prayer was, and it was a very busy time. It was an active time in the United States. And I think that my leadership came at a time when people were feeling spiritual thirst. And in the 70s, there was a sort of a charismatic renewal and also the civil rights movement. And in the 90s, I think there was thirst for God. And I came from Colombia, where we had had to face a lot of spiritual opposition, the Vietnam War, anti-American feelings, anti-Catholic feelings. We did student ministry in the university, had sort of I think people were interested in Jesus. They thought maybe he was a revolutionary, but not very interested in the church. And so as we pursued God and evangelized, we had to pray. And so I came with the richness of our Colombian experience of really calling on God in many different kinds of situations that we faced, and brought that to Urbana. Dan asked me, he had met me during the IFES World Assembly in Colombia, and wanted people to experience God at Urbana. And I came very aware of my limitations. I put the five-stone metaphor of David was mine, of calling on God in worship, coming before him in humility, depending on the Holy Spirit, and wanting to see that God would meet the delegates, that he would stand against the enemy, and that he would really lead us in effective prayer. And you know the fact that that time was a paradigm shift in every single way possible for that missions convention, in worship, in the topics that it dealt with, the issue of brokenness that it dealt with, and in prayer paradigms. And what would I say? The leadership, Dan Harrison and Steve Hainer, felt that the directions were important. And so they asked me to come back and come behind the scenes to lead prayer and train prayer leadership. And I think that my own gifting is leadership. I love teams. I love leading teams. And I think I found a hunger among many staff who joined us. I would guess that maybe 500 staff have been involved in the prayer movement over the last 18 years in either in a prayer team or a prayer ministry team, a training time, regional leadership gifts. And my greatest joy has been to partner with others to sort of help develop that. The position of prayer didn't exist per se. We came Jack and I were invited to come to partner with InterVarsity in 2000 And Jack was invited on the actual Urbana leadership team. I was asked to be at the office and to be a blessing to others and to support what was going on in prayer. And so that was when, I think you might have read the little thing, that was when the NSC prayer meeting began and has continued on. I continued to develop leadership, prayer leadership, through Urbana because it was funded best that way. And so I did that in the year 2000. And after that Urbana, when it was decided whether we would stay on in InterVarsity, the training department, Tom Boyle and Barney Ford, asked us to stay on, and specifically me, to develop prayer, not for Urbana alone anymore, but with at ONS, for Nisset, that it would extend more into the movement, that it would, I began to encourage and befriend people who were working in that area, and then began the partnership with Doug and Marilyn in spiritual formation, and we soon saw that we had two parallel lists. The people who were going to spiritual formation retreats and nurturing spiritual formation also partnered in the prayer area at Urbana or at ONS in different events. And we recognized that prayer was one of the missional arms of spiritual formation, just as evangelism is, just as campus ministry is. Over those over these last 8 years, I think it was really important in dialogue with Jim Lundgren. He said, I love what's happening at Urbana Prayer. I'd like to see that engaged and plugged into the ministry, a mission of InterVarsity in an ongoing way as it seeks to build chapters and plant new chapters. And so he invited our prayer team to support the national initiatives and especially to support the chapter building and chapter planning initiatives. And so for the last couple of years, we have had prayer teams supporting those initiatives and praying for those who are going out to plant chapters and to strengthen chapters. I think also the people who've been trained through Urbana Prayer are strengthening prayer locally, the daily prayer meeting in some cases, regional prayer support for the regional events and the campus evangelism. Some people like Hallie Cowan, I think she's a beautiful example, is a associate or assistant to Chris Nichols, the regional director, and nurtures staff in prayer, but also leads prayer events for the mission and are seeking, in Jason's term, to braid together mission, justice, and prayer, as well as nurture for staff. And so my happiness is to see that what started as an Urbana thrust back in 90 and a time of praying and training people has become an enrichment of the prayer thread that got weaker during the 80s and has always been in danger, kind of in our lives, in the undulating way, and to see that become a stronger part of who we are and what we do.
It's prayer is always a difficult thing to perceive because oftentimes there's not a quid pro quo. In other words, if you pray five more minutes, or if you pray at all, this will happen. It's outside the laws of science in a way. But have you seen, would you say, the fruit that we could expect from the increased prayer activities that you've been involved with?
Let me put it this way. In the Urbana experiences, through, I guess, all the different Urbanas, and some of the stories have been written out that you read yesterday, We saw immediate, you're praying here. For instance, one of the prayers that was very precious to me in 2003 was a sense, because prayer is not, if we pray here, God's going to bless what I do. I think probably the one of the things that has changed for me and for many people is how I see prayer. Used to see prayer, if we pray for this, then God will bless that, and you see answers over there. I think I revision prayer, and I think that's happening in the movement in three ways. Prayer is one way in which I live out my personal relationship with God, so that my prayer life is not something I have to do and I check it off, but it's an ongoing conversation that I have with a God who wants to live out his life through me in ministry, number one. Number two, as I pray, I express my dependence on him. Otherwise, I act and ask him to bless what I do. So it's a shift on who does what. It helps, if you will, make John 15 a reality so that I abide. One of the ways I abide is by my praying and my drawing on him. I think a new thought for me also is prayer is not talking. It's also listening, so that as I dialogue with God, I'm listening more to what he wants me to accomplish and what he wants to do than telling him what to do, which was kind of the old thought. You know, you ask God to do this, and then he blesses that over there. So fourthly, seeing intercession as both watching what the organizers of a conference ask for. For instance, in 2003, they longed to see people committed to the mission field. So we listened to God and asked, how many can we believe you for? And many of us felt that God was asking us to believe him for 10,000 delegates to make a commitment and mission in that particular band, 2003. In actual fact, it was something like 10,183. I don't know the exact precise more than 10,000, but there were more than 10,000 people who made that commitment. But in that case, we listened to God and stood between him and then prayed that God would bring delegates and work in their hearts and create a mission force that pleased him and that where we were partnering with him in what he wanted to do. So what makes me happy in InterVarsity is not so much that we pray more so that God will bless more what we're doing. I think that a spiritual formation and chair and the prayer area together have helped us grow closer to God and depend on him more. I find people with more joy in his presence. I think a prayer meeting that used to be an ask meeting has now been, one of the reasons people love to be on prayer teams is because the presence of God is palpable in the room, and it's like going swimming and enjoying the freshness of the water, and you go back and swim not as a duty, because it's refreshing. It's in his presence, and then as you're in that presence, you're interceding for what the movement wants to do. They want to see people come to Jesus. They want to see people awaken and alive. They want to see people change their heart to the poor. They want to see people go overseas. And it's the refreshment that we found in the presence of God as he answers our prayers but also blesses us with himself that I think has turned people on to the joy of praying. Mm-hmm. It's not a duty. It's a relationship that's worth it and that's bathed in his presence, and that's a great thing.
And you're praying for the same thing that God wants, and your heart is beating with God's heart, really.
I feel that he's changed. I feel transformed from my own journey in prayer. I feel deepened in fellowship with others. I feel closer to God's heart, more passionate about evangelism, more passionate about sharing my own faith, more tender to the poor. And the very doing this together brings it full circle again. You want to do it again, and I meet him there, but I'm also pushed out. I love Jason's words. I don't know if you had a chance to read his journey, but the prayer has nurtured his passion for God, but has also led him in engagement, and that I think that's been true. I think we found joy in his presence, but also our own hearts changed and quickened toward engagement in a more effective way. One of the things, for instance, that encourages me in the San Diego and the Southern Cal area, where they have begun to have staff days for nurture, you know, the little prayer days, I think Steve Stuckey and others have Chris Nickel nurtured staff days. Staff have stayed on because they've enjoyed being refreshed. They're praying more, and they're seeing more fruit than they have ever seen before. And it isn't through just an evangelist like York Moore, who sees tons of fruit, but it's through a group of people who, one, nurture their life in their staff days, two, pray together for the mission, and then three, have seen God giving fruit. And so instead of being drained by ministry, they've been nurtured and then empowered for ministry as they pray.
One of the things that has happened is parallel with what you've been doing with InterVarsity, a broad prayer movement has sprung up, the 24/7 movement that's
right.
really manifesting itself all over the world.
Right. They have been a blessing to us, and I appreciated that they came to Staff Conference 08 and felt also blessed by their interface with InterVarsity. And so there have been tons of partnership this past year on many campuses.
And I guess the International House of Prayer, and that's all connected, and InterVarsity is right in that mainstream of prayer.
I think that the IHOP experience is one of the things that has blessed me in watching that movement. Was it started with Mike Bickle, a pastor, being asked of God to pray three times a day for an hour, once in the morning, at noon, and then I don't know when the third one was. And he did that for 17 years as a faithful pastor, bringing people in his church to it. And then at the end of those 17 years, the Lord told him he was ready, because he brought other people and he began to do it more and more. He called him to do a house of prayer. And I think that they give us an illustration of how you can quicken mission and how you can quicken a whole youth movement through focus on prayer and worship. And we have been blessed through the IHOP experience. Paul Hughes is related to them. They've come and prayed now at two of our conferences. And many of our people have gone and been blessed there. I think there's one of their staff members is an InterVarsity staff person, friend of Paul Hughes. But it's been a sister movement, and I think it's blessed us in the walking alongside them.
Well, now we're in a transitional period, and you're stepping aside, and Lena has the new position now. And I had not met Lena before until just the other day when we talked. And it was a delight meeting her and finding out what a wonderful person she is, but also discovering that you and Lena go way back.
That's right.
Tell me about that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Tell me about how you and Lena first connected.
Lena was a friend of friends on the campus in the National University, and they invited her to come to a Bible study. We had lunches in our home, sometimes up to 100 students for lunch. And in the beginning, she didn't like it. But I think she shared how God worked in her own heart. And she came to me with a question, because we had a campus that was Marxist. There were Gnostics pressuring people on campus. And she really wanted to know how God could answer some of those questions. She was struggling with her own faith, making it her own, because she had a rich Catholic background, but it was questioned in those days. And I found myself promising to meet with her first every day and then every week. And she told me just this last week that sometimes she didn't want to go, but I was always faithful. We studied the book of Colossians, we studied Proverbs, and then we studied the book of Colossians together. And in that study, she reconnected with the Jesus she had known as a child. She put her faith fully in him. She made a total commitment of her life, became a leader in our movement, then became a staff worker, and then later on went on to be the associate director with her husband of the Colombian movement.
So she was mentored by you, basically.
She was mentored, and we grew together as we faced the issues of Marxism on campus, the spiritual warfare that's present an awful lot of cult practices and all kinds of, there's a lot of stuff to, that you face on campus, New Age movements and things like that, even the interpersonal tensions and the undulation of a student movement where sometimes it's easier to evangelize and there's more life and sometimes there's not. She and I and many others partnered together in prayer, and I think that grew together on our knees. It was wonderful and it was a surprise to me that God called her to the U.S., brought her to InterVarsity, and has used her in her own Great Lakes West region to really nurture and bring her maturity and her prayerful heart to that area. And now I'm thrilled to see her invited to do this prayer leadership job. My job was sort of an under-the-radar, be-a-blessing job, and the thing that encourages me is that InterVarsity has sought now to make it an official position and that she's been brought on board officially to be a blessing and to help us continue to grow in prayer. She's a mature woman. She loves God. She's prayerful. She has a marvelous husband. And I'm delighted to see a person from a Hispanic background help lead a multi-ethnic prayer team. I think one thing I would say, Gordon, that encourages me, we are for a multi-ethnic ministry in InterVarsity, and it thrills me that our prayer teams are multi-ethnic prayer teams and that we have enjoyed partnership together. Barbara Brown has been a long-term important person in prayer through our movement for years before I came. And Pauline Fong has children right now, but has been a strong prayer leader. Lena is a strong prayer leader. And I'm grateful to see that we have a precious partnership of multi-ethnic team in the prayer area, and I'd love to see that grow under her leadership.
Yeah. Did you reconnect with Lena when she moved from Colombia to the U.S., or did you stay in contact over the years?
No, we stayed in contact over the years.
Okay. Well, I think it's just wonderful the way this transition has worked out.